Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Bava Metzia has been dedicated by Rabbi and Mrs. Chaim Shlomo Metz. Le'ilei Nishmas Shmar Yehu Ben Chaim.
Masechta Bava Metzia Daf Ayin Vav. This new perek, the sixth perek of Bava Metzia, Hasoicher Es Ho'omnin, discusses the halachos of someone who hires workers, and one party or the other party doesn't act in accordance with the deal, with the way that they had arranged to act, or one side backed out from the other side, and the halacha is the repercussions in din. Before we begin the discussion of the perek, we ought to say over one musar vort, one devar musar, which Reb Itzel Petterberger brings down that his Rebbe Zichron Levracha, Rebbe Sol Solanter, taught to his Talmidim, and it's based upon a Mishnah right here at the beginning of the perek. The Mishnah says that Hasoicher es ha'omnin vehitu ze'el ze'el ein lohem ze'el ze'el tarumois. So the Mishnah says that if you have the hired workers and one party fools the other, and the Gemara gets into some details of how they were fooled, but if one party fools the other, all you have is complaints. There's no monetary claim that one side can bring against the other. Ein lohem ze'el ze'el tarumois, you could complain. That's all that you have. And if Yisrael Solanter asked, what is this thing that the Mishnah is saying, that ein lehem ze'el ze'el tarumos? The Mishnah should have said that neither side has a monetary claim against the other. There's no tevias momoin. You can't be tevia money in court. That's all that it's necessary to say. As far as this, that you're going to complain, people complain on their own, said Yisrael Solanter. What is the halacha telling me to complain? Complaint is something which wells up from within the person. We can rely on you. You'll complain. What does the Mishnah say, expression like that? In halacha, the Mishnah teaches us a din, ein lehem ze'el ze'el tarumos. And Rabbi Sol Solanter said that here we see a very important concept, which is that the having tarumos or the not having tarumos is guided by guidelines of halacha, just like any other dvar halacha has its guidelines. In the same way, said Rabbi Sol Solanter, that where halacha tells us that sometimes I have a rightful monetary claim against someone and I can win money in court, and sometimes the halacha doesn't allow me to win money against him in court. The same way, he said, sometimes the halacha allows me to have tarumois against someone else, and sometimes the halacha does not allow me to have tarumois. It doesn't consider that I have any right to have any complaints. We feel very often that we were ba'avult, we were messed up by somebody, by so-and-so, and by somebody else, and our neighbor messed us up, and our friends messed us up, and people naturally have complaints of this person or that person. It's also that the Gemara tells us it doesn't work that way. If that person, what he did, was perfectly acceptable according to the halacha, then there's no room in the halacha that we should be allowed to have any tarumois. The Mishnah tells us over here, however, said Yisrael, that some person backed out on you, chosh, that there's no tevias momoin, and money you're not going to win in court, but al kapana, the halacha allows me to have these tarumos, to have these complaints. The same way, said Yisrael, that we have the moshul in the Masechta Yuma, that if somebody does some act of spite against you, or some act of harm against you, whatever it is, even if there's no monetary claim in court, he has to mefayis as chaveroi. He has to miratze as chaveroi. He has to appease him. He has to ask him for mechila. If he doesn't ask for mechila, you're allowed to have complaints, said Yisrael. So them zok di Gemara that in this case, in this particular case of our Mishnah, ein lehem ze'el ze'el tarumos. And the Gemara, right away in the top of Ayin Vav Amid Aleph, asks that what was the scenario, and if the case was that the middleman, right, the balabayis offered four zuz, and the middleman offered them just three zuz, and the workers accepted the three, then the Gemara says, tarumo is ma'avidite, right? Why should they have any complaints? What right do they have to have any complaints? They were sovereign of a kibel. They knew what they were getting into. They knew they were getting the offer of three, and they accepted the offer of three. So, you see, the Gemara is using this in a very rigorous manner, this question of whether a person could or could not have tarumo is, and it's also that it's a very important concept, and we shouldn't go around as complainers all the time. Moreover, Abisol said, there's an Eitzah Toiva here, that Be'etzemis, Abisol, sometimes we've attended them, we have complaints, and we feel the eating away in our heart against our fellow Jew. We can't get ourselves to forget about it. So think it over one fine day. He said he used to do this himself, Rabbi Saul said, in his younger years. Think it over carefully. Find it within your heart to recognize that you ought to forgive that person and forgive them. Be moichel. And once you're moichel, you lose the halachic ability to have complaints anymore from then on and in, because you are moichel. Now you don't have any halachic recht to have any terumas anymore. And then when you'll be able to tell yourself that, then you'll find you'll have the capacity to overcome that midah within the person that always looks to complain. Let's begin by discussing the din of the top line of the Mishnah on Ayin Vav Amid Aleph and the Rashi there. The Mishnah says that if somebody hired workers and then he backs out, before he backs out, and Balabayas choizer boy, yodoy al hatachtoina. If the Balabayas backs out, the homeowner, the employer backs out, he's yodoy al hatachtoina, he gets the lower hand of the deal. And Rashi gives one example of this yodoy al hatachtoina, that what happens if he backed out partway through, and at the time when he backed out, the wages for the workers has gone down by now in midday. So that, for example, it was going to cost 8 zuz to do the whole job. But now, the workers did half of it, and the remainder, the other half of the job, is only going to cost 2 zuz, because the price of workers went all the way down by the midday by the time he backed out. So Rashi says the halacha is that he has to pay the original workers the entire amount that he was originally going to have paid them, minus the amount that it's going to cost them for the rest of the day, which is now a quite a bit lower amount. So he has to pay him the entire 8 zuz in the case we gave, minus the 2 zuz it's now going to cost him, which means that just for the first half of the day's work, the original pilem are going to get 6 zuz. That's what Rashi says. And the Ritzvo over here points out that this Rashi is a very, very big chidush. In fact, the Ritzvo brings a Tosfos that he had. The Tosfos argues on Rashi. And Tosfos Tain is that where's the logic in this thing? The workers did work. When the time when they did the work, it was half of an 8 zuz job. So at the time it was worth 4 zuz. If you look at it from the standpoint of now, it's worth even less because the wages of workers have gone down even further. But what you are going to be chayef to pay, according to Rashi, but just that first half of the job is 6 zuz, which is far more than it's worth by any standard, because you have to pay them the full amount that you had originally had said you would pay them, minus the amount that the remainder of the work is going to cost you, which is quite a bit lower, it's only 2 zuz, you have to pay them 6, says the Ritva, b'shem Tosfos, where's the logic in that? They didn't do that kind of work at all, and therefore the Ritva quotes Tosfos that they argue on the Rashi, and they hold that the owner only has to pay them the 4 zuz, the 1 sela, which is the higher amount that the workers are entitled to. If you compare that to what they would be getting, even less, if you would cheshbon it according to the present standard, what they're presently worth. Right now, half the job is only worth 2. You're going to give them 4, because that was worth at the beginning of the day. But to give them 6 is, by any standard, says the Ritva b'shem Tosfos, it doesn't even make any sense, because the job they did is surely not worth 6 by any standard. Why would Rashi say this thing? You have to give them the entire amount he had originally offered, minus a small amount it will cost you to complete it. So on this, we have a couple of mahalchim. The Ritva says that the pshat in Rashi is that you're paying this to the workers based upon the concept of payment of damages. When you originally hired the workers at the beginning of the day and they started the job, and the workers had the expectation that they would end up at the end of the day with the 8 zuz. They could have gotten 8 zuz if they would have gotten one to somebody else, work for somebody else, and he wouldn't back out on them. You had them gone to work for you, and you backed out on them, and you got to see to it that they can end up with the 8 zuz at the end of the day. Otherwise, that's called paying for damages. You caused them damages. And mainly, you got to pay him the full amount that they can have, so that then when they supplement to another 2 zuz of work at the end of the day, which is all they can get now from here to the end of the day, they'll get the full 8. They got to pay them the 6, so that when they add to that the 2 they can get to the end, from here to the end of the day, they get the total of 8. So this is the concept of paying them for damages. As we'll see later, Mitzvah Shem, this is very not poshut, that the person should be defined as a mazik just because he backs out of these workers. However, this is how the Ritva learns, and we'll try to come back to this svar later on. The Ramban on Amud Beis over here seems to work with a slightly different idea, and the Ramban Bekitzer is mavur that he has a different understanding. The Ramban appears to learn that the reason why, according to Rashi, or according to this approach, the reason why that you have to pay him so much, you have to pay him the full amount of the entirety of the day, minus the amount that their work is worth for the rest of the day. The reason for that, says the Ramban, is because it's based upon a hischaivus that the Balabayas has mechayev himself at the beginning of the day. At the beginning of the day, when the Balabayas hires them, the understanding is he's being mechayev himself that they're going to get that 8 zuz. Now, he doesn't have to pay them a full 8 zuz, says the Ramban, if he's going to have to supplement a little bit more work from some other workers. The Balabayas is not going to want to lay out more than 8 zuz total for the job. But al kalponim, insofar that the Balabayas granted that 2 zuz he's going to be deducting from their salary, he'll pay it to the other workers who will finish the job. But they're entitled to get the full 6 zuz, which is the full 8, minus the 2 he pays to somebody else, the full 6, because that is a hischaivus. It's an obligation that the employer accepts upon himself at the beginning of the day when he begins the hire. He becomes obligated to pay them the full amount, minus whatever expenses he'll incur from some other workers. So that, according to Ramban, it's not a chiyuv of mazik, the way the devotee categorizes it, but rather Ramban understands it to be a schaivus, an obligation that the owner accepts upon himself at the beginning of the work. In reality, there appears to be another understanding of this Rashi, and to get into it, we're going to need to discuss a very yesodistic hakira, a very fundamental question regarding the entire halachic perspective on the employment of payalim. And to get into that, let us first begin with the Tur. The Tur says in Siman Shin Lamed Gimel, a very, very remarkable thing, which some of the Noisikalim, some of the Poiskim, are matmiya on this tour. The tour writes that what happens if I hire the work at the beginning of the day, it was going to be 8 zuz, and then it's the Poilim who back out halfway through. Not the Balabais who backs out, the Poilim back out halfway through. But by the time they back out, the wages of Poilim has gone down, all the way down, 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 and the owner could easily supplement and finish the job by means of paying only 2 zuz to a remaining other Poilim. The Torah claims that the Baal Bayis is going to have to pay the original Poilim, who just backed out on him after half the job was done, he got to pay him the 6 zuz, which is the total of the 8 zuz he was going to pay them for the whole day, minus a small amount of 2 zuz he'll have to pay somebody else to finish the job. It's even though the work is backed out. This is not at all like Rashi's case that the Rishonim discuss in Rashi Shita here, that Rashi says where the Baal Bayis backs out in the middle of the day, in certain cases he has to pay them the 6 zuz. The Torah says that even where the Poilim backs that midday, if it's only going to cost the Baal Bayis 2 zuz to finish the job, he has to pay the Poilim the full 6 zuz, the total 8 that they were going to have gotten for the whole day work, minus the 2 he'll have to pay others for the rest of the job. And the Shach comments over there in Shin Lamed Gimel, and the Shach says that this remarkable and very startling din, we don't find it in any Poisek, at least other than the Torah. No one else says such a thing, and it's really incredible to say this. The workers are the ones who backed out. They backed on him, on the employer. Why in the world would we say that the workers are entitled to get such a huge amount, far more really that they should get by any normal reasonable mathematical standard, because they only did half the job, it was an 8 zuz job, and they get given 4 at most, and instead they're getting 8, getting 6, because total of 8 minus the 2 the homeowner will pay is somebody else. It doesn't even really make sense to have to pay that to workers who backed out on you midday. That's the Shach. On this, Tzeis HaChoshen has an Arichos there, where he explains the Shitas Hator, and he argues that it does make sense, and it's quite well within the mainstream, according to a particular perspective on an understanding of Schiras Poilim. And the Ksais gets into an extremely, extremely important discussion about understanding the aside of the concept of Schiras Poilim, hiring a worker. And this Ksais is elaborated on, the Nesivus addresses it, and other Gedolei Achronim talk about this concept as well. The Ksais writes that if we look carefully in the Rishonim, we find that there are a number of Rishonim, and the Ksais focuses particularly notably on the Tshuvas Maimonis, which is the Gois Maimonis is Tshuvas, back of the Rambam, and a couple of Stiklach and Simon Lamed, Simon Lamed Aleph at the end of Kinyan, where the Tshuvas Maimonis writes in a couple of places that this concept that a Poyel, a worker, could back out in the middle of the day, he backs out and he gets prorated his wages, according to the amount of work that he did, that actually is derived from the concept, which we find a parallel idea by the case of an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri, in the middle of the work, Eved Ivri sells himself for 6 years, and if he finds the wherewithal to redeem himself in the middle, then the Eved Ivri would be able to, so to speak, back out of the middle. In other words, he redeems himself, he pays the owner had originally paid him 6 years' worth of salary. If the Eved Ivri will find the means to buy himself out in the middle after a fraction of the time is done, he pays the owner, and he ends up getting only a fraction, obviously, of the pay, because the rest he paid back to the owner, and he leaves in the middle. So that's a concept that we find by an Eved Ivri, that he's Megareya Pedyoinev Yoitse, he's Yoitse Begiroin Kesef, the Gemara tells us in Kedushin. So that same concept, that you'll kind of prorate the salary of the Eved Ivri, he pays up the rest, and he goes out in the middle, that's exactly the same idea as you have by a Poyel. Likewise, a Poyel is also a kind of quasi-Eved Ivri, says the Tshuvas Maimonis, and he likewise is going to be able to prorate his own salary. His salary was to have been for the whole day, he was going to get 8 zuz, so now he'll prorate and he'll get 4 zuz, he'll get 6 zuz, whatever the case may be. That's the same concept as an Eved Ivri, Yoitzei Bigeroin Kesef. That's the Tshuvas Maimonis. If that's the case, says the Ksois, then we ought to apply to this Poel who backs out how you're going to cheshbon, how you're going to prorate and calculate the amount that he'll get and the amount that he won't get. We ought to apply to that the rules from the Gzeiras HaKosev and Masechta Kedushin Daf Chof, where the Gemara learns out by an Eved Ivri who's Yoitzei Begiroin Kesef, that he leaves and he prorates and gives back a certain amount of wages that was the amount that Malacha is worth for the remaining couple of years. And the Gemara says that, well, if the value of the Evri went up in the interim, if the value of the Evri went down in the interim, we always calculate it in a manner which is lahokhel to the Evri, and that's exeris hakosev. So the Evri's value went quite a bit down in the middle, or in the, on the market rate, it's where it gets quite a bit less money. So then the Evri has to pay only a little back, and he's going to be able to keep, in other words, the entire amount that the Odoin paid, the big high salary the Odoin paid him, 6 years worth of work at the beginning, get to keep that. He only has to give back a small amount, the amount that his wages of the last couple of years are now worth. Likewise, says the Ksois, we're going to apply the exact same thing over here. And if you think about it, that's all the Torah is saying. The poil over here is backing out. That's kind of comparable to an Eved who wants to leave in the middle of the 6 years. The poil, the Torah says, is going to get the full amount of his wages as they were originally calculated, minus that he won't get a small amount of wages, and that small amount that he won't get will be calculated at the cheap value that they're presently worth. So you give him almost everything, just deducting the cheap amount that is worth, the remainder of his worth that presently worth. That's exactly the same thing that we find by an Eved Ivri. That Eved Ivri gets to keep, Eved Ivri got the money at the beginning, of course, not at the end, but at the beginning. That's a big difference. Eved Ivri gets paid at the beginning, but it's the same idea. Eved Ivri gets paid at the beginning, gives back when he is Yoitz of a Gero in Kesef, when he leaves by paying some money, he pays the small amount of money that remains of his worth as now work and gets to keep the big lump sum that he got at the beginning. So you see, it's exactly the same thing what the Torah says as applicable to a payel is the same thing that we say regarding a geroin kesef. And Eved Ivri says excise, and there's really nothing that surprising about it. In fact, we find, says the Tzoyis, that the Tshuvas Maimonides himself, and another Tshuva right there, says a very similar thing that the Torah says. He says it about a Melamed, a teacher. You hired the teacher, he's going to teach your kids for X amount of time, and the teacher backs out in the middle. And you, again, it says over there also that the Tshuvas Maimonides says that you pay the teacher the entire lump sum that he was to have gotten, if he would have finished the job, minus whatever amount is the remainder of the job will now cost according to present-day monies, according to present-day prices. If the present-day prices are quite small, he's going to get almost the entire amount he originally committed to give, minus the small amount that the remainder will now command on the market. Now, that's because the same idea, the way that Tshuvas Maimonides expressed in the other tshuva, was simply paralleling, giving a poel, the same din that we're giving an Eved Ivri, who's Yoitze, and we calculate the amount that in this case, the poel will lose, that he won't get, in accordance with the exact same amount that the Eved Ivri has to give back, which could be a small amount if his amount, the wages of his salary went down the middle. On this, in Tzivis, the Sivas HaMishpat, right over there in Shin Lamed Gimel, responds to this with a very fundamental comment. And this is the concept we really want to get into, we'd like to discuss. And the Sivas takes issue with this whole approach, even though it's in some Rishonim, he says that's not the primary approach in Halacha. And the Sivas writes that in his opinion, this entire Shiloh, to what extent I'm really going to try to compare a Poyel to an Eved Ivri and say, well, they're really not that different. You know, Eved Ivri sold himself for 6 years, and the Poyel agreed to commit himself to work for X amount of time. Their whole question of a Poyel is conceptually similar to Ulten Eved Ivri, he holds, is really a machloikis amoyroim in the Yerushalmi of Anort, right over here, in the sixth parak of Bamatsia. And this is where the Netziv makes a very powerful conceptual statement. Netzivis writes that in the Yerushalmi, right over here, you have a machloikis between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan on a very, very basic point, interestingly enough. Rav holds that in the middle of the job, the workers are in the middle of working for you, Rav holds, bein poyel, bein habalabayas, yochal lachzaboy, that both the workers could back out of the middle, and also the balabayas, the employer, he could back out in the middle as well. Rabbi Yochanan holds no. In the middle of the job, only the workers could back out, and not the balabayas. The Mefarshim speak out, by the way, that although our Mishnah says beferish, black on white, that both the poel and the balabayas could back out, that's because our Mishnah bepashtus, kipshuto, you could learn, is talking that nobody began any work yet. So he didn't even begin to work yet, then either side could back out. But Rabbi Yochanan holds in the Yerushalmi that once the work did begin, then only the poel could back out, and not the balabayas. And the Yerushalmi self-explains what is the conceptual idea that underlies Machlokes Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. So the Yerushalmi says a remarkable thing, that Rabbi Yochanan holds that a poyel is gufoy konoy, comparable to an Eved Ivri. A poyel, in fact, in a certain sense, and this is quite an astounding thing, a chiddush, that the poyel is not just that I have a shibud upon him, he's meshubud, he's obligated to a certain job for me, but rather, he's a kind of mixas, or a quasi of mamish and Eved Ivri. Just like the Gemara says in Kedushin, that Eved Ivri is gufoy konoy, that you have a certain ownership in his body,
body, you mamash own the person in a certain manner for that amount of time, for the 6 years, you mamash have the ownership in the mensch, gufoy konoi. So likewise, the poil is also conceptually in some manner, he's gufoy konoi, he's mamash bought by you of hazoi veid for this amount of time, for this regard to this particular job, but he's mamash gufoy konoi to you, and he's a kind of mamash a quasi evidivri. Because of that, that's why Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Baal Bayis can't back out in the middle. It's one thing if neither of them began the beforeshin speak out in the Yerushalmi, because then he didn't take on the label yet of a halachic poyo, which is a quasi evidivri. He didn't do the work yet, didn't start the work yet. But the moment he starts the work, he gets the shame of a poyo, like a mixas of a gufay konig, almost like an evidivri. And mele, therefore, it's like you bought him in a certain way. You can't back out of something you bought. You bought it. But backing out, it's far too late to back out after you made the purchase. So if you made a kinyan a guf on the evid, it's not shaykh to back out. The reason on the poyo you can't back out either, because he's gufay konig as well, according to Yochanan. It's only that the poil could back out because of exasa kosa that the Gemara talks about, and we'll talk about the Gemara in Daf Yud earlier in Bamatzia, that the Gemara says about a poil, the poil could truly back out because the pasuk says ki libin yisrael avodim avodai heim v'loy avodim la avodim, and that's the pasuk the Gemara applies to a poil on Daf Yud. And you see this concept that even to the extent that a poil is not much like an evid ivri, which the Gemara does look like it's saying that in Bamatzia Daf Yud in the Bavli, it says a poil could back out in the middle of the day because ki libin yisrael avodim avodai heim v'loy avodim la avodim. Don't close the door and slam the door on the Eved and make it irreversible. He has stuck with the job that he took on. That's not Shayach. Avod, that's called Avodim La'avodim. That's like he's an Eved to the Yid, and that can't be. So he has to be able to at least be able to back out. The players have to be able to back out. Bayis, who doesn't have any such a cause, if kind of stuck with it, because the Eved is Gufay Konoi. Mashen King Rav holds that a poil is not Gufay Konoi, that a labor, a poil, is not Gufay Konoi. And there, all it is just a mutual obligation. So there we have, since there was no actual kinyan that was made, so there, not only the poil, but also the Malabayas, either party will be able to back out. Zokta Nesivis, that he says, I hold that all these Rishainim, that these Rishainim that they say that the poil is mamish like an evidivri in the sense that you mamish apply the din of Giroin Kesef with all the fancy rules and the Xerxakosas as they're gezokt, as they're said by evidivri. He could calculate the deduction, the money that he's going to be giving at the end back to the Odoin. He can calculate that in a manner that's most beneficial to him based on exact cost of Evid Ivri, that you want to apply that to a poil, like certain Rishonim, like the Tshuvas Naiman is, because you're assuming, like Rabbi Yochanan, the Yerushalmi, that the poil is mamish like a quasi Evid Ivri, he's a gufay konoi, and therefore we have the same rules applicable to the poil like to the Evid. However, the Nesivis Rai says, in his opinion, the primary view, the primary Pesach Halacha, is that we actually hold like the opinion of Rav in the Yerushalmi, that Evid Ivri is not gufay konoi. And he says, if you think about it, he says, first of all, it happens to be at the Shach, says a number of times in Shin Lamed Gimel, that the Gevedivi is, I'm sorry, a poil is not gufay konoi. But more than that, Zokter, the whole Gemara is mashed. The Gemara speaks constantly in the Bavli over here about the balabais being choizer boy, about the poil being choizer boy. We speak about the concept of choizer boy banking out. The idea of banking out, the whole lashon choizer boy doesn't apply at all. It doesn't even make any sense altogether, Zokter, with regard to someone that your mamish bought. If you bought him, you can't be choizer. What are you going to retract something you already bought? So the whole lashon of choizer implies that there's no kinyan, there's no gufay konoi, and consequently, the Nesivis is of the opinion that this idea that Ksoi speaks of and brings rayas to in certain Rishainim is not lahalacha, the idea that the poyer will be able to redeem himself, so to speak, before the end of the day, and he's going to get the full amount of the money he was to have gotten, except for the small amount that you'll have to, you know, that his worth is now worth till the end of the day. That whole idea is based on the cost of Evid Ivri, and we're not going to pass on the halacha that a poyel is like an Evid Ivri, that a poyel is gufay konoi, so you really can't apply those dinim to a poyel. The Machne Ephraim has an important piece in the beginning of Chiras Poelim, in which he speaks about this exact same Chakira in understanding what the relationship of the Poel to the Balabayas is. Is the Poel some sort of a konu legufoi, some sort of owned in some manner by the Baal Bayis, or not? It's just some sort of obligation to do the work. And he still sued the same Yerushalmi, and the Machal Chaykas Rav Yochanan Yerushalmi, and the Machne Ephraim brings very important sources on this question, and we'll touch on some of the sources that he quotes over there. The Machne Ephraim addresses a very basic, specific question. Why somebody hires a worker, and he pays the worker in advance. Now, of course, you don't usually pay a worker in advance. As the Achronim point out, that's actually one basic difference, certainly in the logistics and the mechanics, between a poel and an eved ivri. An eved ivri, you always do pay in advance. He's not much being purchased by you, so you purchase, An eved ivri sells himself to you, and you pay him the 6 years of work up front, like you pay anything up front when you purchase it. However, a poel, which kipshuta is not much being purchased, the fact of the matter is that a poel doesn't get paid till the end. That's always the rule. You don't get paid till the end. As much the lemon sold to the soif, etc., you only pay the poel at the end. And what happens, says the Machne Ephraim, if Lamaisa you paid the poel in advance? You paid the worker in advance, you advance the money, and halfway in the middle of the day, the poel wants to back out. Now, of course, he could back out. That's the din. Any worker could back out midday, like the Gemara is saying over here. But what happens if you tell him, I refuse to allow you to back out unless you have the cash and you give me the cash right now, and then only then I'm going to allow you to back out? Since I advance you the cash already, I insisted on getting it back in the pocket. I'm not accepting any IOU from you. If you want to back out, you have to pay me the cash right now. When is the din going to be in that case, says the Machne Ephraim? And the Machne Ephraim argues that if you read carefully the Rishonim, it appears that this Shaila is actually a Machloikas HaRishonim. The Machne Ephraim brings a Ritvo in the Sugya here, in the name of his Raboisa, the name of his Rebbe's, that actually speak at Mefeirish, that if you paid the worker in advance, and then the worker wants to back out at midday, he can only back out by giving you the cash right now on the spot, and if he already spent it, for example, and doesn't have the cash to give on the spot, he's totally unable to back out altogether unless he has the cash. That's what Dvor brings from his Rebbe's. The Machne Ephraim says, however, that there's a Rashba that he quotes, which is Meduyik Fakert, and the Rashba is clearly Meduyik and it's Mashma. It appears from the Rashba that, regardless of whether he has the cash right now or not, it's certainly his ability, his option, that he could back out right now anytime he wants, because you have no hold over him to force him to work. When he doesn't want to work, it's just that your whole hold that you have over him simply doesn't extend itself to that. You have no such, it's not like he's an Eved Ivri Mamish or anything, and therefore you just can't force him, and the fact that he doesn't have the cash, he'll have to write you an IOU, and you'll have to go and collect it from him in the entire, because, says the Machne Ephraim, the way he understood the Raja, because the poel simply cannot be impeded, cannot be stopped from backing up midday, regardless of whether he could produce the cash on hand right now. Zokt of them, the Machne Ephraim, that the underlying idea behind this Machlek as Rishonim is as follows, that we know by an Eved Ivri, it's absolutely clear, the Gemara says in Kedushin, that if an Eved Ivri wants to back out before the end of the 6 years are up, he can't stand back out. He has to buy himself back, and he has to have the cash ready on hand for the remaining couple of years or whatever it is, and he gives the other in the cash, and that's what he buys himself back. That's what Eved Ivri has to do. And therefore, consequently, says the Machne Ephraim, if we're going to look upon a poel conceptually as being a kind of quasi-Eved Ivri, the same as an Eved Ivri, just usually a poel doesn't get paid to the end. So, of course, he doesn't get paid to the end. The poel doesn't have to worry about coming up with cash when he wants to back out because he hasn't even gotten paid yet in the first place. But if a poel would get paid right from the beginning in advance, then he certainly would be exactly the same thing as an Eved. If you look upon a poel as gufoi konoi, says the Machne Ephraim, you look upon him as someone who's mamish owned by you in a certain sense, legabe this work for this amount of time, he's like, you have an ownership over him, and you bought him, so to speak. So if you paid the money, that money was purchase money. He wants to purchase himself back Beseder, but that's like any Eved Ivri. He has to purchase himself, so he has to get the money together and pay the cash on hand. And that is, this concept is Mamash HaMachloikas Rishonim, which we will have enough gemina of, says the Machne Ephraim, in this particular case. The Machne Ephraim brings the Machloikas Amaroim in the Yushalmi, Rav and Ibyochanan. Rav holds that an Eved Ivri is not Gufay, I'm sorry, a poel, a worker, a laborer, is not Gufay Konoi. Rabbi Yochanan holds that a laborer is Gufay Konoi, so in fact it's really a Machloikas in the Yushalmi, says the Machne Ephraim. But then he adds something important and challenging, and he says that the Gemara in Mesech Bab Metzia on the Fyud, in the Bavli, in Mesech Bab Metzia on the Fyud, really does seem to be mashma in the simple sense, like the Tzad and Eved Ivri is a poel. Poel is Gufay Konoi. Contrary to what Nesivis was machlut, and Nesivis said, no, it appears that the Bavli comes out that certainly you don't own a poel in any way, shape, or form. The Machne Ephraim says, you know what, there is a mashmois in the simple sense of the Gemara, but Metzia Dafyud Amid Aleph, that a poel is, in fact, they have some sort of an ownership, like a gufoi konoi, like that man, the Omer, in the Yerushalmi. Let's say over that Gemara briefly, but Metzia Dafyud, it's only a few lines, and it's very directly nogea, directly relevant to our discussion. In Metzia Dafyud, the Gemara brings one man to Omar that holds that Yad Poyel ki Yad Balabayas, that the hand, so to speak, of the poyel of the worker is like the hand of a balabayas, and according to this tzad, if the worker will find a Metzia during his work time and pick it up, it automatically belongs to the balabayas, because, so to speak, his yad, his hand, his ability of acquisition during that time, belonged to the balabayas, Metzias, and the Bala Bayis therefore will automatically acquire any Metzias, any found objects, that the worker picks up during that time. Yad Poyol ki Yad Bala Bayis. The Gemara asks on that, is that really true? What, do you have some kind of ownership over your Poyol? What about the fact that Poyol Yochel Lachza, boy, Afilu B'chatzi HaYoyim, he's clearly not really owned in any real way by you. We know that he can back out at midday. So what kind of, do you think you have some kind of real ownership, that his Yad is like your Yad, his hand is like your hand? And so the Gemara, no, there's a special din. Of course he can back out at midday. That's a special exercise of Kosev. Ki Li B'nei Yisrael Avodim, Avod Ayhem. And we dash on that V'loy Avodim La'Avodim. We don't want that he should be treated mamish like a true slave, because that's not the right thing. All Jewish people have a direct relationship to the Almighty, to Hashem. We are His servants. We shouldn't be servants to flesh and blood human beings. And therefore, if he has the inability to back it altogether, he will be like a slave, and that wouldn't be the right thing. So, the simple sense of that Gemara, and this is a very important sugya discussed by a number of Gedolim, the simple pshat in that Gemara seems to be, and the Machne Ephraim makes that point, that in fact, the Poel has a certain way, in a certain manner, he's owned by the Balabayas. Granted, it's not mamash like an Eved Ivri and Kolski, not like an Eved Kanani or a table, but there's a certain ownership, a kinyan aguf, that the owner has in him, which is why we have one man the Omer that holds that he picks up Metzias during that time of his employment to you. Then his Yad is your Yad and you own it. You acquire it. He could back out. Okay, that's exactly a kosa that it doesn't go that far. So, says the Machne Ephraim, that Gemara about Metzias the feud might be a snach, might be some sort of a hook, be a mashma there, that the Poyel is in fact gufoy koni and owned in some manner, not just as some sort of a work relationship between the employer and the employee, but rather there's some type of an actual ownership of the guf, and it might be a mashmois there in that Gemara. The reason that all this is actually negeya to our Rashi that we began with over here is that I saw that the Ktsois, when he discusses the different Rishonim, he discusses the Tshuvas Maimoni that says that a poil is mamish like an Eved, a worker is mamish like an Eved, if you're like a slave. And when he goes free by leaving in the middle of the day, so it's equivalent to the Giroin Kesef, the deduction of the money and the repayment of the remainder of the money that every Eved Ivri goes through. So he says that actually that's the Das Rabbeinu Shloimo in the Sugya. And that's that Rabbeinu Shloimo is Rashi, and it seems to be clear that he's referring to our Rashi over here. Like we said earlier, we started that the Rashi is Mavur, that the Poel can get a windfall. He was Sugazok, he was promised at the beginning of the day he was going to get Edzuz. And if he backs it halfway through, he can end up sometimes with most of that. With most of it, almost all of it, can get 6 zuz if the Balabayas is able to take care of the rest of the job with just 2 zuz, so the price went down. And that's exactly to say that Rashi is saying this word. In other words, the Tuvas Maimonides evidently understood in Rashi to be saying this thing as well, that a poil is treated like an evidivri. In other words, that there's an intrinsic obligation. You sort of board him into a certain way for a certain segment of time, for certain activities. You board him and you're obligated a certain amount of money, and that money is his. Although he can back out in the middle of the day and he has to remit some of that money, whether he got paid or not, he remits some of the money, but he might be able to remit it at a rate which is very good for him, in the same way that an Eved Ivri could be Gemagareya the Kesef to remit the remainder of the money at a manner that's advantageous to the Eved. I'll close this point, this discussion, with just one last interesting point from Pinchas Scheinberg, from Rav Scheinberg. Rav Scheinberg brings down a Rambam and a Teres Kayanim, which Kipshuta, according to the simple reading of the Rambam and the Teres Kayanim, Hilchos Tshumas and the Rambam, Kipshuta, it seems to Mavur over there, that Be'etzam we would have said that every poyel, every worker that a Kayan has working for him, the worker is Yisrael, and he's working for the Kayan, we would have said that the worker had a Truma from the Kayan, because he's, so to speak, working for the Kayan and an employee of the Kayan, and therefore could he Truma as a person who's within the so-called home of the Kohen. Even though he's not an Eved Ivri, we still would have had a Hava Amina, he'd be able to eat Chukrumah. That halacha, we paskin, of course, is that an Eved Kanaini of a Kohen is allowed to eat Chukrumah, and this Gemara discusses extensively in the Seder Perek of Yevamos. And we have a Hava Amina that an Eved Ivri will be able, of a Kohen will be able to eat Chukrumah as well, because he's kind of ancillary to the Kohen. And that we have the Pasik, various Sukkim that indicate that an Eved Ivri is not able, because there's a cause Eved Ivri cannot eat Chukrumah of the Kohen. But what about not an Eved Ivri, just a regular employee, a regular laborer, a day laborer, happened to be working for the Kohen at that moment, is there any havamina whatsoever that he should be able to eat Truma as well? And Rav Scheinberg points out that according to the simple understanding of the Teres Kohen in Parashas Emor, and the Rambam in the sixth parak of Hilchos Truma, it says Mavur that you needed a special pasuk of Toisha v'sachar lo'yoychal boy, which apparently they understood in a simple literal sense, the Toisha v'sachar types of workers, and these workers, the Yisraelim workers working for the Kohen, they're not able to eat Truma. And there are a number of Mefarshim who actually do learn this Rambam Kepshutai. The Radvaz and others learned that there was a true Havamina, an actual Havamina, that just because the Yisrael is an employee of the Kohen, doing some day labor type work for him, that would automatically enable him, and the Havamina, if not for the Yasakosiv, enable him to eat Shuma like the Kohen could eat Shuma. Now, Sir Rav Scheinberg says, what was the Havamina over here? He's just working for him. Was it? It's not even Eved Kenayni. Why would I have thought that a Poyel or an Umon who was working for the Kohen could eat Shuma? So, on this Rav Shemek said the following, and this is where it directly negated to us. The truth is that in the Sugya in Yevamos, in the 7th Perek, it's Mavur, that there's two psukim that indicate that a Eved Kenayni of a Kohen could eat Shuma. He's ancillary to the Kohen, he's totally owned by the Kohen, and he could eat Shuma, like the Kohen, if he's an Eved Kohen. And one pasuk that the Gemara brings is a pasuk of the Kohen ki yikna nefesh kinyan kaspoi, a kinyan of his kesef, he bought. He bought a nefesh, he's Yoichal boy. So then Rav Scheinberg is machlit, he feels very strongly, he feels that a poel, there's no hava amina at all, that the poel would have been included in that pasuk, because there's no way that a poel is called a kinyan kasboy, since a poel is not gufoy konoy, and he takes this position quite strongly, Rav Scheinberg, and he brings a raya to it, al pidarkoy, and in his opinion, in no way could a poel be called a gufoy konoy to the balabayas, and if the balabayas, the kohen, Rav Scheinberg feels it was not even a hava amina at all, ever, that he should be included in the kinyan kasboy. One thing that Scheinberg points out is that a poel could be choyzer v'chatzi ayoyim. You know, that's that itself, the fact that the poel could back at midday, that shows you he's not truly owned. Another thing he says that we find in the Shulchan Aruch, that the halacha is that you can moichel your poel, the remainder of the work. You just moichel it, and then he doesn't have to do the remainder of the work. The halacha is, the Gemara says in Kedushim, evidiv, you can't be moichel him. You have to go through a process of freeing him. You can't be moichel him. He's mamish owned by you. If you own something, or you own somebody, you can't just be moichel it. It's within your ownership. Within your bailus. So you can't be moichel and evidiv the remainder of your work without going through a formal process of freeing him. However, we do find by a poel, you can moichel the remainder of the work that he has to do for you. So there, Rav Scheinberg says, we find rayas, that a poel is definitely not owned. And that's what he says. And therefore, he says, there's no way to have a hava amina that the poel of the kohen could eat from the Truma like the Kohen, because of the pasuk of kinyan kasboy. There is, however, another pasuk, says Rav Scheinberg, and that's the pasuk of that called Toher Beveis Kol Yoichal Oisoi, any Toher who is within the home of the Kohen is able to eat it. That's another pasuk the Gemara brings in Yevamos, that an Eved Kohen who's ancillary and within the Kohen's home, he could eat the Truma. And that, Rav Scheinberg says, there was a half a minute to call the Oman as somebody who is Torah Beveischa. He's working for you. He's Beveischa within your home. What does it mean he's within your home? First of all, who says he's in your home at all? And even if he's physically in your home, why is he called Beveischa just like doing a job for you? So Scheinberg says, well, that it's likely that it's Mezoinois of Al-Balabayas, that the Opmach was of Al-Balabayas has to provide him with Mezoinois. He's working for you. He's supplying with food, for meals, and therefore that could be called Beveischa. I don't want to comment on that actually that's not so mustaver. It's a little bit far-fetched. You know, first of all, who says that a poil, there's no Torah mechanism, no halacha mechanism that intrinsically obligates the balabayas to supply meals to the poel. I mean, what kind of business? It's not like an eved ivri. We have to supply him with food and etc. A poel just happens to be doing a job for you. If you agree to supply him with food, you'll supply him with the food, but not because the halachic mechanism, the halachic framework in and of itself obligates that in any way. So really, why in the world would anybody think of a worker as being beveischa with or without the food? The food should not be mila moir, because it doesn't go into the intrinsic definition of what a poel is altogether. The really easier way to understand this Rambam and the Teres Kohenim, according to this Derech, would be to say that they go like the other Shita of the Rishonim, in the Tshuvas Maimonis, in the Ktsois, and in the those Rishonim who hold that way in the Machne Frame as well, that they hold that the Poel really is Gufay Kono, contrary to Rishonim's assumptions. If you learn that way, then you can understand that if he's Gufay Kono, okay, I had a Havamina, he's totally ancillary to the Kohen, and could eat the Tshuva of the Kohen. The same way we know there was such a Havamina by Eved Ivri, that he's ancillary to the Kohen, and eat the Tshuva of the Kohen, Eved Ivri of the Kohen could eat. He can't because of a din, exerts a kasa, but there was certainly such a havamina that he could because he's owned. And likewise, the easy way to do this, to understand the havamina in the Rambam Materias Kohenim, that a stam worker, a soichru poil, would be able to eat shuma of the Kohen, will also likewise be pepshutai, that they'll go with the Rishonim, the Tehagoyas, the Truvas Maimonis, and others, that hold that a poil has a gufoy konoy aspect to him. Let's go now to Amud Beis and discuss an important and fundamental machlokes rishonim in understanding an element of the sugya on Amud Beis. On Amud Beis, the Gemara discusses a scenario of somebody who hires workers, and the workers travel down to the work site. They traveled down to the work site and discovered there's no work for them. The whole chu the pile them, and they discover that there isn't any work for them to be done. Lo motzu tavua. they find the tzaddik kashehilach, or different scenarios in which there's no work for them to do. And there the halacha is, the Gemara says that noishan lehem schorim isholem, if they travel down and they discover there's no work for them to be done, he has to pay them in full, and the Gemara gives them exact calculations about how you calculate what's called payment in full. Hakoponim over here, there is a shaila, a big machlokes rishonim in understanding this. It seems from the Gemara it's only if they travel down to the work site and discover that there's no work for them to be done, then you got to pay them. If they have not yet traveled down, and then apparently it seems you do not have to pay. But that's what comes out. And Tosfos over here, in Tosfos and Demasal Ein Lehem and other days, Tosfos says that in reality, this sugya is simply dependent upon the well-known Shitas Reb Meir that's Doron Dina de Garmi. Now, Dina de Garmi is a little bit complex in determining exactly what it covers, but the basic of Dina de Garmi is that if I cause someone to sustain a loss, I didn't directly do an act of damaging him in a physical damaging act, but I cause him to sustain a loss, and it's a kind of direct cause rather than an indirect cause. It's called Dina de Garmi, and I cause him to sustain the loss, and I have to pay for damages based on this Dina de Garmi. Based upon that idea, which Tosfos holds, underlies the discussion in this Gemara. Now, Tosfos says that in reality, whether they went down to the work site or did not go down to the work site is not in and of itself that which is determinative, although that's the Losha in the Gemara. The truth of the matter is, says Tosfos, it simply depends on whether, now that you backed out and told them there'll be no work for them to have to do, are they going to be able to find other work or not? So likely, the likelihood is, that if they went all the way to trouble, it took the time and effort to go down to your work site only to discover there's nothing to be done there, by then it's too late to be hired out by anybody else. Everyone's got their work for the day, and therefore they'll take the loss, and you have to pay them of dinner de garmi, of causing them that loss. Ma'ashenk, and they have not yet hired out to the work site, then likelihood is that they'll still be able to find somebody else who's also looking for laborers, and they won't sustain that loss, so you won't have to pay them. But it's not that it's fundamental. Mentally be a soidoi, says Tois, is really dependent upon whether they really went down to the worksite or not. It simply depends on the mitzvahs of whether they'll be able to find other work or they won't. If they will find other work, you simply don't have to pay the like me. You're not causing them any harm. However, the Ramban over here says a very different pshat. And the Ramban claims that it's Meduyuk and Rashi, that Rashi learned like him. The Ramban argues that the real correct pshat in this Gemara is that the payment over here is not a payment of damages. You're not paying for damages. This is a similar hakira, by the way, that we discussed earlier. And this is a basic question that runs through the sugya in a sense. When you pay, in those cases which you do pay, is there any kind of payment for damages because the workers won't be able to get hired, etc., etc.? Or nothing to do with that. The Ramban argues on this and he says that there's no such payment. Rather, it's simply an obligation that you took upon yourself, that you accepted upon yourself the moment that they got labeled as your prelim, that you'll see to it that they are going to get their pay at the end of the day. And if it has to come back through you, then you'll do the payment. And, says the Ramban, by going down to the work site, they did that act. That act is mutually meshabed the parties, and it's meshabed the balabayas to see to it that they're going to get compensated. Until they go down to the work site, there was no act which was meshabed the balabayas, and therefore the balabayas not obligated in any such monetary obligation. But the moment they go down to the work site, he has to see to it that it becomes a meshubed, and so he becomes meshubed, obligated, he incurred it, took upon himself that obligation to see to it that by the end of the day, they'll have their pay. The Ramban holds that Rashi is matuik, that he learned like this pshat, rather than learning like Tosfos. The truth is that Rashi's law showing is a little bit unclear over here. What Rashi says over here is that the workers have not yet gone down to the word site yet, then ein lehem ze al ze elatarumis. All you have is complaint. The balabayas says, okay, I don't have no work for you. They can complain to him and nothing more. So Rashi says, because the balabayas could tell them, taskiru atzmechem la'acherim. Why don't you hire yourself out to somebody else? Hire yourself out to somebody else. What's my problem? I don't have work for you. I'm sorry, I thought I did. Now I see I don't. Go hire yourself to somebody else. Says Rashi, and Rashi adds, Tvias Momon Leka, they really can't make a claim, a monetary claim against him. The Dvorim be Almo Ninu, because it was nothing but words. It wasn't like the Balabayas, there was ever some kind of a Kenyan, there was some sort of a transaction, a Maisa Kenyan that was done, which would obligate the Balabayas in some monetary payment. The workers can't do a Tvias Momon, because all they had was words. They just spoke to each other. They just said, okay, you'll work, you'll get paid. It was nothing but words, and there was no actual obligation. The Stipler points out over here that in reality, these two parts of this Rashi, a little bit of a steer here, and the Ramban is going to have to figure out which is the main words of Rashi which are determinative, which line of Rashi tells us what Rashi really held. Because if you think about it, and the Stipler makes this point, the Reisha of Rashi and the Sefer of Rashi don't say the same thing. In the Reisha of Rashi, Rashi says that the reason he doesn't have to pay him a thing, they can complain to him, because I don't have work for you, sorry. They can complain, but they can't demand any money. Rashi says to them, Taskiru atzmechem la acherim? Why don't you hire yourself out to somebody else? And those words of Rashi, it's a pastor's mashma, it looks more like Rashi's working with Tosis, actually. It's a question of whether these workers are going to incur a loss or they won't. So he said, what's the big deal? Hire yourself out to somebody else. So he hadn't gone down to my field, my land, my work site yet, so hire yourself to somebody else. But the question is, you're not sustaining a loss anyway, you hire yourself out to someone else. But in the end of the exact same Rashi says a different word. Rashi says they have no tvias mamo and they can't demand any money from him in court because the dvorim bialma ninu, all it is words bialma, it's just dvorim bialma, just words. Over there, Rashi is mashma that it's because they lacked any kind of a kinyan to mishabedim to obligate the balabayas. There was no kinyan. That the Ramban says those are the main words of Rashi. And the Shin Gubetz says likewise says this as well, that those are the main words that she makes this point. He says that Rashi added those words at the end because the real nakuda, the real determinative element in this Gemara is the question of whether they went down to the work site, because like the Ramban says, they go down to the work site, that's going to obligate the balabayas. He accepts upon himself an obligation at that point to see to it that they'll have pay at the end of the day. Mashinga didn't go down yet, that's just Vorim Bialma, nothing obligates him. The first part of the Rashi, the Mephoshim speak out, appears to be love. Dafka, the disciple, makes his point, it's just the balabayas is going to use that, it's a debate of tactics, that's all, you know. You say that I did a bad thing to you, I say you can hire yourself to somebody else. But reality, the real Nakuda, the Lomdish Nakuda, is identified by the end of Rashi, Dvorim Bialma. So Rashi and the Ramban hold that, as you could see, that even if the workers would have incurred a loss, and let's say if it's the beginning of the day and they haven't gone down to the field yet, and now they were busy schmoozing with him about the job, and now they can't find any more employment, even if they would incur a loss, they will not be able to have any real monetary claim against the employer, against the balabayas, because there is no payment for damages in this sugya, the Firashi and the Ramban. It's only if they went down to the field that they can demand payment, but not because of damages, for a different reason, because of the fact that by going down, there's like a kinyan, the equivalent of a kinyan in Hishtabdus, that the balabayas has mechayev himself to pay. And this is all different from Tosfos, who learns fundamentally that with going down or without going down, either way, there is a fundamental mechayev, that's mechayev the balabayas to pay if they can't get other work, because of this concept of don dina de garmi. Zokta Stipler in the Kilis Yankiv. What is it that underlies this machlokes? Why do some hold that there's a chiyuv of payment of mazik for the fact that you caused the poilim to not get employment today? Others say there's no payment of mazik. What's this machlokes we shine him all about? So the Stipler brings in a ksois, and the Stipler elaborates along the same lines as the ksois. And these achroinim argue that be'etzem, fundamentally speaking, if you want to mechayev al tzedin mazik for the fact that I deprived these poilim of their employment, there's a basic problem over here. A siba why there should be no mechayev al mazik. And the reason is because in reality this is what's called in halacha menias harevach, and the Rishonim speak about this concept menias harevach. It means to say, instead of causing you a loss, I didn't cause you a loss, I caused that profit that was to have come to you, benefit that was going to have come to you, will now not come as a result of me. That's menias harevach, not a loss from what you previously had, but that there was some gain, some benefit you were to have gotten, which you now you're not going to get. Menias harevach is not a mechayev. We don't ever have to pay from Menias HaRevach. There's no monetary obligation I'm required to pay you, but just because I caused you some gain that you were going to have gotten that you won't get. And that's what Mamash the Sugi over here, the Chayra, and our Gemara, these Poelim, they didn't cause them a loss. They don't have less money in the bank as a result of you. Rather, they don't have a greater amount that they need, of course, a regular source of employment, a regular income, but they need to have regular pay. They need to have regular new income coming into the bank, and that's what didn't come in as a result of the fact that you messed them up in this manner. That's only Menias HaRevach, and therefore L'chayra there's no payment. And that's why L'chayra, the Rashi and the Ramban do make sense, and that's what underlies the Rashi and the Ramban. And not like Tosfos, that Tosfos holds that there is a payment for Garmi, for damages, because what damages? It's just a question of that they didn't get new benefit. Aye, what's the pshat in Tosfos then? What is us all that there is damages? So here is where the Ksois and the Kilis Yankiv both say an interesting chiddush. And they learn that in this particular Gemara, in this particular case, according to Tosfos, the fact that it's only Menias HaRevach will not be a hindrance from the poilim collecting money for damages, because we find that Odom Shehizik Odom, when a person causes damages, harm to another human, a person to a person, Odom Shehizik Odom, then of course is that there's five payments, Nezik Sar Ribu Sheves Boishes. One of the five, what's relevant to us, is Sheves. What does Sheves mean? Well, Sheves is unemployment. In other words, you cause somebody damage, you cause somebody a harm in some manner, injure him, and now, while he's out on the injured list, he can't do his regular employment that he's deprived of his regular employment, then you have to pay that. That's Shevis. Ah, it's only Menias HaRevach. It's only, it's not a loss. It's a quite, he's not going to get the positive pay that he was otherwise going to have gotten during that time period. It seems that the Torah was Mechadish, a Chiddush, a specific Chiddush, specific to the case of Odom, Shehizik Odom, that even Menias HaRevach, you do pay, and therefore, well, that over here is also Odom, Shehizik Odom. It's obviously not at all an injury scenario, but the stipler proves, he demonstrates in the Sugya in Perek HaChoyev and Baba Kama, that even if it's not a true injury scenario, we could look upon Shevis in and of itself, isolate the Shevis and Mechayev a person of a Shevis. I did, in this particular case, I caused the harm to these Pailim, and I caused them, through what I did, I caused them, they're not going to get employment. Mamish, that's what the case is. So therefore, you have to pay them Shevis, and that's the Pshat that Tzoyis and the stipler both say, that Pshat and Tzoyis is a Dina de Gami of Shevis. In other words, that since it's Odom Shehizik Odom, he didn't cause it, he didn't cause damage to his object. You cause damage to the person, to the poil himself, and you cause in an indirect way, but it's called sufficiently direct. That's called dinah d'garmi. You through your actions, it turned out that they weren't able to be employed by anybody else, and therefore they themselves sustained that hit and got the loss of employment, and therefore you have to pay them. And even though l'chora is just a lack of profit that they were to have gotten, we have this din of sheves that's machayev you to pay them anyway. That's the ktsois and the stipler. Rav Steinman Zolgesundzain in the Ayalos HaShachar actually adds one nekuda here. He says that if you look carefully at the Lashon HaGemara, you'll see that one of the scenarios in where it's Poilin, the Poilin went down and now they're not going to get all the work. And you have Chamorim, that's the donkey drivers went down and now they're not going to get work driving their donkey, so you're going to have to pay them. It's according to Tosfos, they'll be paying them out to the Dina de Garmi. It's like Dr. Steinman, okay, well, the donkey driver, L'chaira, it's him and his donkey. That, you know, his donkey was going to be trugging packages and dragging loads and things, carrying burdens, and now donkey won't be able to carry any burdens. And L'chaira, if you're really going to tie this down, according to Tosfos, to the Din of which is specific to Odom Shehizik Odom, why is it altogether applicable to the case of the Chamorim, where it's really he was using his donkey to schlep the things, and it's like a lack of employment the donkey was going to have gotten. The donkey was going to make some money for you, you know? Well, if that's what it is, and now the donkey won't make the money for you, that's not included in Shevis at all. That's not Odom Shehizik Odom. And why, in that scenario, the Gemara, do you have to pay the Poilim? So Steinman said that that's actually not a kasha, because you know, there's no reason to look at it specifically from the standpoint of the donkey. We could just as well look at the standpoint of the donkey driver as the Chamorim. They're the ones who drive the donkey. They're called chamorim. They drive the chamor. And that chamor, that donkey driver, uses his chamor. The chamor is the means by which the chamor makes his daily living. He makes his daily living by driving his donkey, which has carrying things on the donkey. So you deprive the chamor of the chamor's regular means of employment. He makes his $50 a day, whatever he makes, by carrying things in his pack animal. And now that was money he was going to make by using his donkey. Now he makes $0. And therefore that is called Olin Shehizik Adam by looking at it from the standpoint of the chamor, of the driver. The stipler makes one last point over here, which I'll mention briefly to wrap up the discussion. The stipler says, fine, if there isn't enough Shevis, then why in the world would Rashi and the Ramban disagree with it? Why would Rashi and the Ramban hold there's no payment for damages over here? Why not? Granted, it's only a menias harevach, it's just a loss of future pay benefits that the workers were to have gotten and which they now won't get. But we said that that's covered by Shevis. By Odom Shehizik Odom, and that's what Shevis is. It's unemployment. The victim of yours was going to be employed, and now he can't be employed, and you pay him that. So why in this sugya should be any different? Why would Rashi and the Ramban hold that in our Gemara there is no payment for damages? It ought to be included under Shevis. So the stipler says at some length, and he boys this ois, and we'll just say the core idea, Bekitzur, that the stipler argues that there's some sources that indicate, at least in some Rishayim, that there's a fundamental difference between damaging somebody directly with an actual Maisa Mazik and damaging him with the Dina de Garmi. And then with El Gemara, you didn't do any Maisa Mazika. You didn't take a punch and swing at him and injure him in any manner, that he's Poilim. Rather, you just deprive them of their livelihood. You did an indirect act to them. You, by schmoozing with them and taking them down to the field, and etc., you cause indirectly that they won't be able to do any work. Even though it was only indirect, but nonetheless, it's direct enough that it's called Garmi, and therefore, als Dina de Garmi, you would be Chayef. However, the stipler argues that it brings some proofs and some sources that indicate that although it's true that the Gemara tells us that Yechayef Adina de Garmi, nonetheless, it does not mean that the indirect act of Garmi is mamish identical as if you did a direct act of injuring the person. It just means that it's sufficiently direct, related to you, that you're responsible for the repercussions of the act of Dina de Garmi. But not that it's equated or mamish equivalent or equal to taking a swing and injuring the person directly to your koyach mamish. And therefore, the discipler argues that Rashi and the Ramban held that although if a person would injure his friend directly, directly with a Maisa Gomor, a Maisa Mamash, a direct action, you have to pay not just Nezek, injured damages, but also all the other elements, including Sheves. You have to pay for Sheves. If you injure him directly with a swing of the fist, you pay for Sheves for what he would have been employed and made money during that time. But if it's only a Dina de Garmi, while it's true that if you injure somebody indirectly with Dina de Garmi, you cause loss to someone indirectly with Dina de Garmi, you pay for the loss itself. You pay for the Nezek itself, but there's no extra Chamisha Dvorim. There's no Tzar Ripu Sheves Boishes when it was only an indirect act, even if it was a Garmi. And even if it's liable for Nezek, that still doesn't make it equal to the Maisa Gomor. And that's the Machloikas, as Rabbi says, Rashi and Toises. That Toises held even Dina de Garmi, an indirect act of Garmi in this Sugya, is able to Mechayev you in Sheves and unemployment. Whereas Rashi held that since it was a direct action, it was only indirect, so Chochitz, even though it's Garmi, and if there would have been damages, Mamish, Nezek, Mamish, a loss that was incurred, you'd have to pay for that, even according to Rashi. But over here, where there was just a Manias HaRevach, a lack of future employment, and it's just a question of including on the Sheves, that we're not going to Mechayev you, since you did not do a Ma'is, a Gomor, a complete action, but rather only an indirect action, which is Mechayev for Nezek, had there been Nezek, but not Mechayev for other additional payments like Sheves.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.